So yeah, so let's get into it here. Lesson 8, Philippians 3. Now I love this 12 on because I love Paul's heart here. And for him to say, not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected, I want us to understand what he is saying here. This is the Apostle Paul. I don't think anybody knows, besides the Lord Jesus Christ himself, probably knows the Old Testament better. He's a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as we read before. He's from the tribe of Benjamin. I mean, nobody knows the Old Testament better than Paul. Paul is the one that had that experience on the Damascus Road, met the living Christ. And so I think that he's pretty in tune with not only the scriptures, but the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And yet he still says right here, not that I've already attained, I'm already perfected. Now, what do you think he meant by that? So he's still growing. He hasn't arrived yet, right? And that's what it means that it has not been perfected. He's not as spiritually mature as he is, and probably someone who has walked the face of the earth is probably the most spiritually mature person that's ever lived. Even he is saying, I have not yet attained. I'm not spiritually perfected. I'm not complete yet, is what that word means. That he's not complete. He hasn't come to his complete end yet. If he did, the Lord would probably pluck him off the earth at that point. Okay? So he even admits he hasn't attained that yet. And so he goes on and he says, but I press on that I may hold of that which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching for those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So, here in verse 12b, at the very last part here, he says, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. This means Jesus laid hold of Paul so that Paul could become all that he's supposed to be. Then Paul presses on to lay hold of an appropriate Christ so that he could become what Christ wants him to be. Knowing this, what does Jesus want Paul to become in these following verses, like in Romans 6:4? What did you get there? What does Jesus want Paul to be?
Dead to his old self.
What's that?
Dead to his old self.
Dead to his old self? Okay. And to walk in newness of life. Exactly. And then in Romans 8:29, what does God want? Jesus want from Paul, or God want from Paul? To conform to the image of his son. Exactly. God wants to make Paul a new man. He wants to lay hold of Paul, and he wants him to be all that he is supposed to be. He had that. God had that way before the Marines had that logo. Okay, be all that you can be. Okay, that's what God was saying with all of us, that once we receive Jesus, I've laid hold of you in order for you to become something much more than you were at the moment that he laid hold of you. And there's no higher calling than to be made in the image of his son, Jesus. Acts 9:15 says what? Also wants him to be what?
A chosen vessel.
Chosen vessel. And a chosen vessel for what? To declare God's name to the Gentiles, to kings, and who else? Israel. He wants him to be a witness, is what he wants him to be. A chosen vessel to be a witness, to be that mouthpiece to the Gentiles, to the kings, as well as to Israel. And then Philippians 3:11, what else did he want to lay hold of him for the reason of? Come on.
Resurrected to glory in heaven.
Resurrected to the glory of God, his hope. In the resurrection, I also want to lay hold of you so you can be with me someday. Okay? And that's what's going to happen through the resurrection. Or even Paul at that time thought that the rapture could take place, so he'd be translated, one of the two. He'd attain it one way or another.
Okay.
Yes, Jim.
With that thought in mind, starting off with 12, of course there wasn't verses back then, so I looked at 11 too. And said, in order that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead, not that I have already obtained it. So is that kind of what he's looking at?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I'm not at the end of my life yet. I'm not at the end of what God has called me to be. Absolutely. That is a very good insight right there, because they didn't have verses. And so it's good to go back up ahead of time. And where else did he say, may I attain to the resurrection of the dead? Not that I've already attained or I'm already perfected. I'm not at that place yet. And because I'm not at that place, this is why I press on. This is why there's still work to be done. You know, I don't care how old you are here. I don't care if you're young or if you feel like you're long in the tooth or whatever. God's not done with this yet. Okay? He's not done with us yet. You have not attained. And so because of that, press on. Press on. You all have a circle of friends. You have a sphere of influence that the rest of us don't have. And God has strategically put you there to be a vessel, to be a witness. And if God was done with you, you wouldn't be here. So he's not done. He's not done. There's still work to be done. Thank you, Jim. Verse 13, it says, why does Paul forget those things which are behind? Hint, Luke 9:62. He who puts his hands to the plow and look back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You know, I actually thought that was a salvation verse back when I was very young in the Lord and I was wavering my faith and I came across that and that scared me under the straight and narrow kind of a deal. And God didn't explain it that time. He let me believe that that's what he was talking about, that I could lose my salvation and everything. It's not a salvation verse. Okay, it's a stewardship verse. It's a verse on your service to the Lord. Is it going to be good or not good? Okay? And so when you put your hands to the plow and you look back, guess what? Your furrows are going to be all crooked. They're not going to be the straight way that God wants them to be. And so he's saying there, come on, man. If you are going to put your hands to the plow, then do the work well, is what he's saying to do. So knowing that, along with why Paul says he forgets those things which are behind, what do you think, why does Paul forget those things which are behind?
Is it looking back causes you to lose focus and takes your mind off the new tasks that you need to do?
There you go. Looking back takes off your focus of the person of Jesus and those other things he wants you to do now as you go forward. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I kind of believe, too, that if Paul looked back, the fact that he persecuted the church.
Yeah.
I gotta believe that was in the back of his mind, but maybe he did a great job of forgetting the things that's fine. But if he looked back at that, if he had that hanging on, he
right,
then just suppressed by guilt and man,
yeah.
I
gotta tell you, that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. He can't take away your salvation, but he can certainly make you ineffective. And he does want you to think about your past regrets, to feel guilty. Or your past achievements, so you'll feel proud. And so either way, you know, Satan knows God's not going to be able to use that. And so you're going to be ineffective for his kingdom. And so if there's anybody that could be proud of his achievements, being, you know, of the tribe of Benjamin, being a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and being a Pharisee above his contemporaries and everything else, it's Paul. If there's anybody that could wallow in his regrets because he persecuted the church and God's work, and it would be Paul. And Paul's saying, look, I can't do anything about that. It's not that I don't care. I recognize what I've done, but I also know I've asked God for forgiveness for that. And because of that, I'm forgiven, and now I know there's work to be done. John.
So your past can either be a hindrance to you moving forward, or it can be a testimony.
Your past can either be a hindrance moving forward or a testimony, yeah.
So Paul, your yeah, Peter, is that he was using what he did as a part of his testimony. And I used to think that that verse meant forget everything that was behind.
Sure.
But you looked at the scripture and we're to remember Christ's death, right? So that's looking back. To look back on the things that God has done in your life. So, but you forget those things to keep you from pressing forward. And it needs to be hindrance or testimony. It's our choice.
Yeah, and you could definitely use that. And we see that in the book of Acts, because every time he came across King Agrippa or, you know, all these other guys, he always told about how he used to persecute the church, you know. And then the Lord got a hold of him. And so you're right. He uses his testimony as many people here do. Hey, I was this, but now I'm this. And just so you know, this is what is a good testimony, okay? It's not a bragamony. It's a testimony. And the testimony is what Jesus has done for you now, and look what he has been doing since that time. So your time, and Paul speaks of it, when he speaks about his testimony, it's very brief. I did this, this, and this. But since then, the Lord has done and is doing, and there should be more of what God has done in your life than what you used to be. testimonies are usually whack when I hear someone give a testimony somewhere. If it's on a Wednesday night somewhere, I'm at a church service somewhere, and we're going to have a testimony night. It was 15 minutes of what I used to be, and it's like 5 minutes of what God has done now. It should be the absolute opposite. You don't need to get into the nitty-gritty. You really don't. You know, I was this, I was this, I was this. But now I'm this, and look what God has done. And since I've been following the Lord, boom, 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 boom. That's what a testimony is. Okay? Or you're really giving more of a testimony of what kind of a loser we were before. You know? And it's kind of like, why is that so lengthy and what God is doing now so brief? It shouldn't be that way.
Well, that's the key. It's not what you've done.
Yes.
In your testimony. It's what God has done.
There you go. Not what I've done, but what God has done. Thank you. Yeah. And so there should be a lot of what you've seen God do. And I do believe that that's really what people want to hear. I do think that our flesh sometimes wants to hear the nitty gritty and what and your, how many women did you sleep with? How much drugs did you do? How bombed did you really get? That comes from our flesh. That's not a good thing. But to really edify the spirit, that testimony is to edify someone's spirit, you should be talking more about what God has done in your life. And so the difference between those testimonials. And when you look at Paul, he's very brief on what he did in the past. Very succinct. Yeah, I did this, this, and this. But boom, look what God has done since then. And so your past, if you want to use it to brag, then God's not going to be able to use you. If you're going to wallow in it, God can't use you that either. We look at moving water. It's kind of like once it pulls up and becomes stagnant, that's where all the junk comes in. But when you have water that's moving, it's fresh, it's glorious, it ministers, it does what it needs to do. And so that's what needs to happen in our life. You do recognize it. It was wrong. I've asked forgiveness. You know, I know that it's been taken out on the cross. And so now I am a new creature in Christ. Lord, use me. Let me be that vessel for your glory. You know, and Paul gets that. And, you know, there. I got to tell you, Joey will tell you this, John, Chris, everybody will tell you this, that when it comes to counseling with somebody, we can tell when they're just stuck. And for some reason, they want to stay stuck. They want to play the victim, and they want to hear this, woe is me, oh, there, and things like that. I'll do the there for like maybe about 2 or 3 minutes. I'll bring them to the place, now let's move forward. Yeah, but, we don't get to do that. You don't get to go back. We've already shown you in God's word how we're supposed to move forward here. And you need to believe God. Have you asked forgiveness for? Well, yeah. Okay. Then why do you keep bringing it up? And here's the reason. You lack faith. And you're a very immature believer. And this whole thing is about moving on to maturity. And there's a lot of people who don't want to do that. Because it becomes their identification. And they really do want someone to come alongside them and just go there. Oh, you're right. Wow, that was a horrible thing you went through. But didn't three other counselors already tell you that? Why do you need a fourth? And why haven't we been able to move on? And we see this all the time. Someone will come to Chris for some counseling. He's been counseling them and everything. And the next thing you know, they break it off and I'm getting a phone call now. Yeah, I wasn't quite hearing what I wanted to hear from Chris. So now I'll go to Dave. Dave's much more empathetic than Chris. You obviously don't know Dave. Okay, but okay, I'll let you think that. I'll let you think that. And then it's kind of like one time of me, whoa, would they talk to each other? What? No. We just stand upon what God's word says. And it's really going to be hard for you to pull one over on us. The counsel is pretty much going to be the same. We go to God's word. This is how we move forward. But there's a lot of people that like to be stuck where they are because they really like the attention of being the victim, okay? And as horrible as things might have happened to people, we see that. But God doesn't want you to stay there. He wants us to move forward, and so we're here to help you move forward. If you can't move forward with us, you have now at that point bound our hands. There's nothing we can do. All we can do is point you to the person of Jesus and to his word, and now let's move forward. Jesus and the Word, and now let's move forward. And every time you come, if you need to be reminded, here you go, Jesus, the Word, let's move forward. Well, I don't want to do that. Okay, then why come back to us? You think you're going to hear something different now? No. You're going to hear the same thing, Jesus, the Word. Yeah, I don't like that. Do you have some other counsel in your pocket you can give me? I don't. and I won't. We are here to move on to maturity. And boy, if there's anything that Paul is saying right now here in chapter 3, it's that. We're here to move on to maturity. And either you want to do it or you don't. John.
So Dave, one, I was talking to Joy today. One of the things that we want all of you to be, want me to be, is that while we're moving towards perfection, and that's never going to happen on earth, at least become mature. At least become mature and no longer be a baby.
Yeah.
Perfection, okay, but at least we can all in this room agree that we can become mature.
We can become mature.
If not perfect.
And that does not mean that you don't have your little baby moment. Okay? We all have our little baby moment. And that we're not saying you can't have that and that, you know, but we're there to say, hey, you're kind of having your baby moment. And we're okay with that. We love you. All right? So let me give you a little grace here, but you know what the Word of God says, and I'm here to walk with you. That's all right, just vent. It's cool. I just know you need to vent, that you've just had a bad day or a bad week, or and you just want to blah, blah, blah. Okay, I can do that with you. That's not a problem. But I also know that once you're done with that, I'm going to pray for you, and that we will be able to move forward. Yeah, James.
Just a clarification question. You said a statement about faith. Do you mean faith in the new identity we have in Christ? You don't mean just general faith, or do you mean both?
Well, I would say all the above, because if you truly have faith in Christ, you will also have faith in your new identity. If you don't have faith in your new identity in Christ, then you have very little faith in Christ, because you don't really believe him when he says you're a new creature in Christ. And all things have passed, and behold, all things become new. And that's what God's word says. So do you believe? I do. Well, then, do you believe that? Well, I have a hard time with that. Okay, back up. You just said you had faith in Christ. Well, I do. Well, how can you have faith in Christ and not have faith in what he says here? Why do you have faith in what he says there, but not faith in what he says here? That does not make sense. I either have faith in all that he says, or if I have faith in just some of what he says, then who's God now? I am. Because I'm choosing what is, I think he said, and maybe what he didn't. I don't get that. Either he said it all or he didn't say any of it. So if you believe this part, you have to believe that part as well. Believing, there's all sorts of things in God's word I wish weren't there. Okay? But it is, and I believe it's from God. Yes, Steve.
Well, it goes back to the Garden of Eden. They choose to listen to the enemy about what he's saying about God instead of what God is saying.
Saying about himself. Yes. Exactly. So moving on, because I want to get you out of here. why should we follow Paul's example in verses 17 and 20? I got to tell you something. There are men that I have my eyes on because they are walking very close to the Lord. And they're very humble. And they're very knowledgeable in God's word. And I have several men that I look up to that do that. And I've had probably close to 100 that as I've taken my spiritual walk that I've had there. And of that 100, are they all still walking perfectly with Christ? No. One has fallen. Two have fallen over here. Three have decided to go by way of the world. Okay. But I still have many other people that are walking and are still walking with the Lord and have been walking for a long period of time. And then I have new people that I just see their faith and I just keep my eye on them as well. But here's the thing, when they do fall, if they do fall, it's kind of like, okay, I still have enough people to keep my eyes on. And yet, even if they all fell, I still have the person to keep my eye on, the person of Jesus Christ. As well as all the apostles and all the godly men and women that have gone before me. I still have their testimony written in the pages thereof. And then to be able to say, and I want to be like them. And I do. I do. So it's good to keep your eyes on other people. And know that they're still fallible, but at the same time, see them go through their struggles but come out victorious by doing things God's way. And even if they don't, that they're quick to repent and then they continue on their journey. Those are guys that I have my eyes on. And I love people who are quick to repent. I think that is about as godly as you can get. You know, and so I'm not looking for the perfect person that's walking with the Lord, because it's probably, for one, not true, and I'm missing something. But I like the person that is very quick to repent. You know, it shows humility, and that's that walk with God, that He is everything, we are nothing. And so it's good to have your eyes on people like that. The mindset of Christ's enemies is all about the flesh. How can I be gratified now? Eyes are on the world, what the world can offer to gratify their flesh, whose God is their belly, who set their mind on earthly things. Paul says here, brethren, join and follow my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I told you often, now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. And we're going to talk more about that when we get to the let's go deeper in the well. So, but I do want to add this. If your citizenship is in heaven, then we are foreigners here. And just like any foreigner, and you might be a foreigner here tonight, you're from a different country, whatever, I'm here to tell you that your accent, your words, and your customs betray you, okay? And better word than betray, reveal that you're from a different country. That's okay. It should. You're from a different country. We should expect nothing more. Okay, but it's the same thing with us. If our citizenship is in heaven, if we're from a different country, a heavenly country, it should be seen on how you speak and how you act, to where people could see, dude, are you really of this world? How come you don't want to go do this with us? How come you don't want to do that? How come you won't engage in this kind of course jesting with us? How come you're not so quick to just let out the expletive and curse with us and things like, why aren't you doing that? There's something different. It should be seen. So actually, I'm just going to hit on number three here on deeper in the well, okay? Because there's some depth here that I really want to try and get into. So it says, look carefully at these passages, Hebrews 5, Hebrews 6, 1 Peter 2, 1 Corinthians 14, Matthew 5, 48, of what mature faith looks like. Hebrews 5, 13 and 14, I think we probably all put in there to be able to discern good and evil. Okay, I believe that the Holy Spirit, as we read in John 15, or I should say John 14 and 16, is there to bring remembrance of all that Christ has to say. He's there to lead and guide you in truth. And so it's the Holy Spirit that is going to help you discern good from evil. Okay, and to tap into that, and then to have been taught it, and to be able to recognize it, and know what it is, and then have the maturity to go, I don't need to be in that area at all. I don't have to partake in that. I don't need to put myself in that situation. I know what is before me, the right path to choose and the wrong path to choose. I'm going to go the right way. And that is growing in the person of Jesus Christ, of being able to say, you know, I'm going to do it one way, and that's going to be God's way. And integrity is you do what's right, you let God determine the outcome. And a lot of times, the outcome is not beneficial to you or your flesh right away. Joseph is a perfect example of that, okay? But you do what's right anyway. And in the long run, God is going to bless. Now, I was talking to my wife this morning and for the last couple days, and I have the opportunity to be able to be able to teach for the Gideon's National Conference. And so I was asked a few months ago to do that, and God's already, and it's like in March or April or something like that. And so God's already put it on my heart of a title, which you know is from the Lord, because I don't give titles, you know. You know, I'll have people that I'm speaking somewhere and they'll get a hold of me a couple weeks before. Hey, we want to put it up on the screen and we want to, you know, let people know what you're going to teach on. And I said, great. When you find out, let me know. Because I have no idea. The Lord usually reveals that the week before. And then they always want a title for the message. And that puts way too much pressure to be clever, you know. And I hate that kind of pressure. And I already know the title of the message. And it's going to be called Not at the Expense of God's Word. Do you get that? Whatever I do, it cannot be at the expense of God's Word. Yet it looks so good. It looks this, but here's the deal. Not at the expense of God's Word. God's Word says this. Yeah, but if I and I could, and he's already given me the text and everything else, and I'm really excited about it. I want to preach about it now. And, you know, I got like 6 months still before it happens. And I'm going, Lord, you've never done that with me before. I've never had a message title ready to go ahead and just teach it. This is new to me, okay? But not at the expense of God's Word. And so Christian maturity is going to go in that direction, not the expense of God's Word. Are you willing to do that? Nope. Why? Because it'll ruin my testimony for the Lord. Why would I do that? Go ahead and do it if you don't care about your testimony of the Lord, I guess. But I do. So I don't want to do that. So when I look at maturity here, and when it was saying about you desire the pure milk of the Word, how many people here, and this isn't to be disparaging to you at all, okay? So I won't even ask, okay? But you have milk that take away all the stuff that we put into it and all that kind of stuff and how we raise cows. I'm just taking that out of it. But if it was a cow in Israel just grazing on that hill and you were to partake of that milk, it would be good for you. But when we add to it, like Bosco or some other thing in it to make it chocolate milk, because chocolate milk tastes good. You know it tastes good. But you've just added to it almost to say, because the pure milk isn't good enough. To desire the pure milk of the Word means you're able to read the Word and take it in and receive it. Someone doesn't have to come along and make you feel good about why you should receive what it says. Okay? And there's a lot of programs that come into the church that juggle and do all this entertainment for just a little dash of God's Word and juggle and entertainment and one program after another and in order to give you that little bit of the Word. And then that's not maturity. That's not maturity. And I'm here to tell you something. It's through all the juggling and the programs and then a little bit of the Word and then a little juggling of the programs, and this is cute how we did this, and look at all this technology that we have and media and and a little bit of the Word, and you're going to gate a crowd. You can grow a church much greater that way than by taking people to the Word and going chapter and verse. You will. Okay?
You always have to up the ante.
Right? You always have to up the ante. You got to do something more clever the next week, or the next year you got to reconfigure how the paint scheme is and to make sure it's looking exactly like Fixer Upper or whatever the new, latest thing is. And I love Fixer Upper, but still, it's kind of like we got to make sure everything's pops and bams. And but if you raise people in the Word of God, they will go, oh yeah, it's nice, but what are we learning today? You know, how are we going through God's Word? And what's going to happen is that you'll grow to maturity, but as you and I both know, going from 1 to 18 takes 18 years. And growing to maturity in God's Word is going to take a whole lot longer. And to get people the maturity of where they're going to reach out to people and want to talk to them about the Lord and explain to them Jesus and say, hey, we have this really cool Bible study we're doing. We go through chapter and verse. You can really get to know God's Word. And little by little, people will filter in. But as they filter in, because we're in the Word of God, it is going to grow them. And the staying power of that is a whole lot greater. And it may take longer, in a sense, whatever that is, to build a church or a church family. But that church family is going to be a whole lot stronger. A whole lot stronger. And that's the journey that we are on here. This is what we do here. We want to give you the pure milk of the Word. We don't want it to come with all this glitz and glitter to keep you entertained. You should desire the pure milk of the Word. And we shouldn't have to add anything to it.
Dave, that's okay. Why we're here. That's why I'm here.
And
many churches, but I pick because I wanted to do more.
And you know what? And that's what attracted me. And I believe that that's what is attracting you. And this is why I'm so excited about this Philippians study. And as we continue to go through God's Word, and I'm not embarrassed to go through Revelation, and I'm not embarrassed to go through other areas of God's Word that people are going, well, that's not really seeker sensitive, and you should really do that on Sundays, and you should always be in a gospel, and you should always do it kind of this way, and don't go too deep. My goodness, you go for an hour. You shouldn't go for an hour. You should only go for 22 and a half minutes, you know, and things like that. It's like, no, we're not going to do it. And have 3 points to your message, and no, we're not going to do that. Because I believe God's Word is going to do what God's Word is supposed to do.
Hey, a couple weekends ago, Dave told this guy, I'll tell this
later. Oh, man.
Guy asked him, he says, how come your sermons are so long? Because he said, sermonettes equals Christianettes. Yeah. That was great. What a great line.
Yeah. Sermonettes equals. And the guy goes, what? And then, so anyway, but it's a different deal altogether.
So you called him a little girl.
Yeah. But he didn't know it, so it was okay. So, but I want us to be able to see something here, because I want you to go to Galatians 5:13. Look what it says there. So in Galatians 5:13 it says this, for you brethren have been called to liberty. And a lot of people just want to stop there. I could go drink, I don't have to show up to church, I go to the game, I did da da la 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 la, and all this kind of liberty stuff. But he says, only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Here's the deal. When you are a doer of God's word, as you're loving God and others, as you are using your gifts here on Sunday morning, Saturday, throughout the week, whatever it is, as you're a doer of God's word, you don't have opportunity for the flesh. That's the only reason why I encourage people, please get involved. Please use your gifting here in the body and help out in the cafe. Be an usher, be a greeter, help out with Sunday school. You know, all the different ministries that we have. Please get involved. Oh, you're just saying that so, you know, you can get work taken care of. I'm doing it so you will grow in your faith. I'm doing it so you won't give opportunity to the flesh. I'm doing it so you will stay on the straight and narrow. And as you do this, you grow in Christ. And this is where you're going to find out you have purpose and meaning. And this is where you're going to go to bed at night and just saying, it was a good day. And I'm so glad that God used me in this way. And I'm so excited for what you have for me tomorrow, Lord. And so you don't have time for the opportunity of the flesh. As you are working out your own salvation, as we went over before, you're putting into practice all those things that God has told us to do. You know, John pointed out to me a few months ago, and he memorized this, but in 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you go over there, in verse 12, when he's speaking to Timothy, and he's exhorting him, don't let anybody despise you because you're youth. So if you're young here, just so you know, there's so much that God wants to do, and he wants to use you and to pour into you and for you to teach others and things like that. He says, let no one despise your youth, 1 Timothy 4:12, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhorting, to doctrine. That's the word. And he says, do not neglect the gift that is in you, meaning you're to use that, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. They'll see it. And take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, it's doing, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Meaning this, as you continue to do what God has called you to do, You're saving yourself in the way of you understand a little bit more about your salvation. You understand a little bit more of what God has done. You understand a little bit more of how God uses you. And you understand a little bit more about your purpose and meaning. You understand a little bit more that you're here to bring glory to God. You understand a little bit more that it's God and others. And you understand this a little bit more. And it ministers to who? Those who hear you. And I would say those who see you. And those who are watching you. It's ministering to them as you are a doer of God's word. And that's what maturity is. And like I said before, but we're all going to have our baby moments. We get that. That's not a problem. Please don't misunderstand what I was saying earlier. You lost your wife and your kids in a car accident. Oh, my goodness. You have every right to just be down for a while. You know, and we're going to come alongside and we're going to sit right where you are and we're just going to love on you. And there is no judgment. There's none of those things. We come alongside those things. I went on a ride along on Halloween, and one of the first things that we arrived on is this 2-year-old kid that climbed up on the toy box on the second story, and there's the window, and he pushed against the screen and fell down, hit the garage, the roof of the garage, and then boom, onto the concrete. And I look at that and going, that their whole world has changed in a moment. The kid was crying, which is a good sign. I haven't heard what happened, but I think the kid's going to be okay, because crying and all that kind of stuff probably has a concussion, and there wasn't that much bleeding. Hopefully there's no bleeding on the brain. But I'm looking at that and going, if the kid's okay, that's awesome. But if not, that rocks and changes their whole world. And we are to empathize and come alongside and walk gingerly with them. Don't get me wrong. What I don't like is that I will still walk with you and everything, but when it isn't even to that degree, you know, and you come into my office and you're in that place and it's kind of like, okay, I will love you. I'm just going to show you what it says here. But your child did not die, okay? Your wife did not commit adultery on you. This did not happen. This is a very minor thing, and I get it's a big deal to you, and I'll walk with you through it, but here's the deal. Let's go on to maturity, shall we? Let's go to maturity, all right? We need to grow. We need to, people need to see us go through difficult things. We need to go through maturity in this. You need to grow in this. And so this is what all this has been talking about. We are going to walk in maturity, understand how your inheritance is incorruptible, that you're a citizen of heaven. There's so many amazing things that are waiting for you. Life happens, and it's real. And we don't want to sweep that under the rug like it's not. It is, okay? And so we will walk with you. But a lot of times, you know, you've had way too long of a baby moment. And we will come alongside and say, it's time. Okay, you can't wallow it. You can't keep bringing this up. This happened 10 years ago. This happened 15 years ago. Mm-mm. It's time to move on. Okay, and that's what God wants us to do. And that's why we have Paul as an example. Okay, we have Paul as an example. And if you're bitter and angry, you have not moved on in your relationship with the Lord. And you have not moved forward and pressed forward to the goal of Christ Jesus, our Lord. You have to deal with that. You have to ask forgiveness. Amen.